Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Indeed, it is. And yeah, we're going to be talking about the Chad Daybell trial a bit today. More chilling testimony that's continuing to come out. Jurors in the Chad Daybell trial presented with unsettling details and the evidence linking the disappearance of Tylee Rahe into the property of the accused. FBI Special Agent Steve Daniels, who supervises the evidence response team, provided a gripping account of the day. Investigators unearthed the remains of a teenager in a fire pit behind Daybell's home. Yeah, and let's take a listen to some of that testimony.
Agent, can you describe what the jury is seeing in 1/7 or in this photo?
As the backhoe is expanding northward from the pet cemetery, this is one of 2 vertebrae that were identified. And at this time, we weren't able to determine if this was a human vertebrae. But the key thing was, at this point, we stopped and we tried, we had an anthropologist with us on scene, and we tried to make a determination if this was human or not. And while that determination was being attempted, I caught an odor of human remains decomposing. And so that leads us to stop utilizing the tractor, and we start processing this area by hand.
That would be horrible to have just regular knowledge of human remains decomposing sent on you, where it's like, oh, it's human remains decomposing, and you have to spell it so frequently in a job like that.
Well, you know, I was out biking yesterday, and we rode by a house.
Where the hell is this going? Well, no, I was out biking yesterday.
Well, honestly, and as I was riding by a house, I smelled something that caught my attention, and I went, something is decomposing. And the reason I know that is from my time in the veterinary field. Sometimes people would bring in a pet that had been deceased for a day or two. Maybe they didn't want to let go, and they left the dog or cat in like the garage, and it was decomposing, and it just has a not a tangy smell, but there's something that just triggers it in your brain to say, this is not normal. This isn't like lemon or lavender. This is something that you need to pay attention to because it's not normal.
Yeah.
And when I rode by this house, I smelled that yesterday, and I went, whoa. And I actually circled back around, because I'm like, I know this smell.
Another whiff? I mean, well, it could be a decomposing animal. I mean, that would be probably the most likely in the area, wouldn't it?
I hope so. And if it's not, we've got another story to cover.
When bike by it again tomorrow, see if it's still out there. And and then start snooping around the yard but never like look behind you. And suddenly, oh my gosh, what are you doing here? It'll be like a horror movie of some sort.
But I'm telling you, I understand it. You know, some people who maybe haven't been around something of that nature, they may not quite understand. But once you've smelled it and you know you identify what that smell is, you will never forget it, and you know it every single time you smell it.
Yeah, I can't. The closest I came to it was when I had pigs, when I was playing farmer for a few years there, or forced into it. And then when they died. That was the worst smell I've ever smelled in my life.
Yeah, it is bad.
And they were ginormous. And I had to bury them somewhere. And the only way I could move them was by, like, strapping them with, you know, like, vehicle straps and things. And then taking a four-wheeler and dragging them out of their pen and then to a place to bury them. Yep, these are all the things I've done in my life.
Yeah, well, you have a very colorful life, so we appreciate hearing some of it.
I don't ever want to do that again, or do the farm thing again. Did it, tried it. I enjoy the city life much better. There's been more interesting pieces of the Chad Daybell trial you've probably heard about in the last week. Specifically, I want to talk about Judge Boyce, because he had to snap at John Pryor a few times, and John Pryor thus far has been like nails on a chalkboard to most people. How would you describe John Pryor to you? Like, what is he? Does he annoy you? Is he just pleasant and just sounds like kind of an old oof, or what?
He sounds like somebody that you have to hang out with, but is so annoying, and you just, like every time he talks, you just want to punch him. That's the feeling I get when I hear him.
Yeah, I agree. It almost feels condescending.
Yes.
Very like I know the answer to this, but I'm just going to ask it like I don't know, and I'm just going to keep doing this kind of it's pandering. It's not appealing at all. It doesn't feel genuine. It just feels like an asshole that thinks they know everything. And they're going to just kind of do their thing without regard to reality, which, I mean, that's kind of what he has to do. He's representing Chad Daybell. But I don't know. I don't know how anyone could really do it. I don't know. Just his demeanor is what I don't like. And it's no fault of his own, other than it's how he carries himself. But
Doesn't he remind you back in school when you were put into a group and you had to do a group project and there was always this one person that just drove you up a freaking wall, but you had to be part of the group. You had to do the project. You had to listen to what the ding dong said, but that's exactly who he is. You have to listen to him. But again, you want to punch him in the face every time.
Yeah. He just doesn't come across. It's like he should have, you know, he should have had more training in how to deliver by this point in life. But anyway, here is Judge Boyce telling John Pryor to basically shut the F up.
One of the reasons we showed you those photos we took was just to show you that it was fairly easy to walk to. As we walked towards that burial, that raised berm, it was pretty easy to distinguish where that burial site was.
And I appreciate that.
Also. It was hidden, though.
Judge, I'm going to object.
I'm going to object to you talking over the top of his response, Mr. Pryor. Let him finish his answer before.
And Judge, it's non-responsive.
Mr. Pryor, you just ran over me. Stop cutting people off in your cross, please, including me. Let the witness finish, and we'll never get an accurate record if you keep doing that. So please do that.
And Judge, my objection is non-responsive. I asked him about the electronic data. I didn't ask him about the rest of this colloquy.
Your Honor,
ask another question, Mr. Pryor.
You engaged in the use of electronic data to locate the remains of J.J. Vallow on the 23rd. Is that right?
That was just one of the things we used. The telephone ping information showing that there was a telephone ping in that northeast area by the pond was just one reason or indicator to show us to go look in that area.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, wow. That was, kind of the know-it-all, like, judge. It was this, and just oblivious to the fact that of what he was doing. I don't know.
Well, it's never a good thing when the judge basically scolds you as an attorney. It's one thing if they're scolding somebody who's sitting on the stand, you know, and their demeanor's not right. But an attorney, you're trained. You're trained to understand how this process works and how to respect the people that are giving their testimony. And he's not being very respectful.
No.
He knows better.
He does. Yeah. It's just one more kind of ick factor on him. Just bad attorney. Just a really Yeah. Lori Vallow, we saw some new video this week as well that we had not seen in the past of an encounter with the police at her brother's home. This is just an interesting one to listen to if you've been following this case. To hear anything new that we haven't already heard, it's kind of a rarity because a lot of it has come out in Lori's trial. But here's a new piece to check out.
We had two detectives over here trying to
looking for you a little while ago.
Oh, because I was at the store.
And they ran into probably one of your brothers.
My brother and his friend, probably.
Oh,
he's been moving. Chad?
Chad from Rapid? Mm-hmm. What's his last name? Yeah, okay.
So it's just a mess. Like, just constantly causing me trouble.
Chad the D-A-Y-B-E-L-O.
He's an author.
Doesn't he live like out in the? He's not the Chad the Bell. His wife passed away recently.
Is that him? I don't know.
But he is Chad the.
D-A-Y-B-E-L-L. Yeah. But it sounds familiar as an author.
I think I know one of his. He's got a couple of daughters.
He has lots of kids.
Okay. Hope it's safe. All right. Well, you need anything else? Sorry to bother you.
Thank you.
We don't mean to be a problem.
I'm sorry that people are constantly knocking on the door. They are looking for me, and I just don't want to be found. So.
Have you had problems? Because I think we only had.
The reason I'm moving is because the brother that was going to kill me, that we found emails and texts with my husband at the time, came showing up here. So he found out where I was, and he was knocking on my door.
Now, this was your brother?
One of my brothers.
He showed up here and was knocking on your door?
He lives in Kansas.
And you said something about you were getting threatening emails?
Well, no. Just after my husband passed, I found emails and texts between them that they were planning all this stuff to get rid of me.
Do we need to worry about him coming over?
Well, that's when I'm moving back. I'm moving, and I'm not going to be in a place. I'm going to live with my friend, Melanie. Don't tell anybody her name, Gib, because I don't want anything in my name. I put the apartment in my name, but I've been staying over here with my brother because he protects me.
Okay.
He's very protective of me.
If he shows back up, you can call. Take care of it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's just a nightmare. I mean, I canceled the insurance policy since my husband passed, so there's no money if they kill me. And what are they going to do with JJ and Patty? Like, what do people need?
Yeah.
So,
well, if you have a problem, show back up, feel free to call us. We'll come in front of mom or something. Okay. All right. Okay. Get out of here. So you're
watching. Thank you.
See ya.
That evil bitch sure knew how to manipulate people.
You know, she sounded so convincing and so matter of fact, and yet she knew exactly what had happened.
Well, and also playing damsel in distress as well to these two dolts, right? That were like, oh, pretty lady, if you need anything, call the office. Here's my cell phone. Here's a beeper I had in 1989. I'll turn it back on for you just so. And my wife doesn't even know I have it. If anytime you want to just talk, chat, look at the stars at night, you give me a beep, you beep it, we'll show up maybe at the old Holiday Inn down on South 74th. Yeah. I got a standing room there.
God, what a debacle,
Yeah. It was a failure to confirm anything because the pretty lady sounded legit and, and nobody wanted to look into it.
Is that how you can get by in this world with some of these things is if you have, a nice rack and blonde hair? Is that how things work?
I think it's worked like that.
I'm just asking for a friend.
I think it's worked like that for quite some time. I mean, and I'm not endorsing it or anything. I'm just saying that's we've seen that happen. I mean, if she looked like, I don't know, just not that, the opposite of that. If she was like 400 pounds, still had the same demeanor and everything, but didn't look the way she looked. I don't think that she would have been getting the same treatment, if you will.
Yeah, I guess. Unreal.
Yeah. No, I think that, that played a huge part in her evading anybody looking into her for so long. Because once they started looking into it, then it was like, oh, shit. But it was like, well, we didn't know. Yeah, you could have.
I think you did know.
You could have.
You just didn't want
to
know.
You just didn't want to know. And you didn't want to. Yeah. It was a failure in human beings there. I don't think nefarious, but a failure in human behavior. Very interesting stuff today. Thank you for gathering all that up, Stacey. That was, there's so many weird things that are coming out, especially in this trial, and we're getting new audio and seeing like that, a insight fly in the wall into what one of those interactions was like. That was fascinating. All right, we got more. We got some checking in with Karen Reed. That is coming up on the next segment of Murder in the Morning. Stand by.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.